Briefly, we consider Philippians 2, 5 to 11 on page 21. It's actually the second reading appointed for Palm Sunday. We pray. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. Indeed, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed. But he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. When he was born in human likeness and his appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, our humble and victorious King, dear humbled victors in Christ's passion. So if you had a fortune stocked away in the market, would you trade it to give to a bunch of your enemies? If you had awesome land with a mansion, would you leave it to go to a land of your enemies? If you were the world's greatest influencer ever, would you give up all of that honor for spitting and mocking and torture and shameful death? We get this attitude as Christians sometimes, like, been there, done that. But it wasn't us. We've heard it. But you know, it was Jesus who did it. Gave it all up because he had a mission to do. Left his father's home of light, that rainbow-circled crown. Left it all for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. Left it all for you, for me, for all. And this reading from Philippians 2, 5 to 11 is just so rich with Christology, the study of Christ in both his human and his divine nature, his state of humiliation and his state of exaltation, all here. What do you do with that? That's actually the verses right before this text in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And remember, you are listening to the words of a born-again persecutor, Saul of Tarsus, who hated Christ until he found out that Christ has indeed risen from the dead. And in that new-made spirit that we receive in the born-again washing of baptism, he could write these words about how harmony lives in Christ and among God's people. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in spirit and having one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, consider one another better than yourselves. Let each of you look carefully not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I read those words and my failures as a friend, as a husband, as a pastor, as a brother, as a Christian, they rise up in my face and shame me. Because first, before God can give us life, he has to kill us. He has to kill that self-righteous pride in me and you and all. So so that we come confessing guilt for all sin, deserving of nothing but wrath and punishment from God, because here's Jesus with a humble attitude. And I find just the opposite in me. But he wants to make our humility not just come to us by his example, but by the power of his forgiveness, that gospel of pure grace and full freedom that takes a selfish attitude that would say things like, well, they can find us, let them come to us. Or they should just work hard the way I do. Or why should I not have my preferences the way they should be, my way in worship all the time? Because that's why we're here, Pastor. You serve us. While Jesus says, go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. We have a task to do as surely as Jesus did. And he wants our attitude to switch from selfish to gratitude to God, who sent Jesus to bring grace and truth to earth from heaven. And this is God's truth. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He was in very nature God from all eternity. Didn't he consider equality with God a prize to be displayed, like he was some great conqueror and put his divinity out there for everybody to worship him? He rode lowly on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem to die. And he knew it, even if the crowds did not. And then he did not consider it robbery, as another translation will be here, to take it from God, his divinity, because he had it from all eternity. He was not afraid of losing it. It wasn't something he had to grab hold of and keep. He emptied himself of the full use of his divine power and glory. He emptied himself to become human, but it wasn't he becoming human that was really his humiliation. Think about it. Christology. If that was the case, he would no longer be human. When he was exalted afterwards, he'd give that up. He's still human. He's the God-man. His humiliation came when he put himself under God's law, that he had to keep it perfectly in your place and mine, and then suffer, knowing full well that every one of us have broken all the commandments. Suffer our hell, and that of everyone who lived before and everyone who followed after, all forgiven because of Christ, taking the very nature of a servant. He wasn't afraid to lose his divinity, as John says on Holy Thursday, John chapter 13. He knew where he was from, and he knew where he was going, and he knew the time was coming to be glorified. So he took a towel and washed his disciples' feet and said, now you do as I have done for you. The very nature of a servant. He was born in human likeness, and his appearance was like that of any man. Schema. The schematics of Jesus. We get that idea from that Greek word. If they had taken an x-ray of Jesus, they would have seen a skeleton. All the systems of digestion and neurology and all the other systems. They're there. Fully human. One big difference. Totally, completely, without a trace of sin. That's all Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of that, you and I, who are being called to a humble attitude to imitate Christ, can also have this glorious anticipation. Call it Holy Week hope. Therefore, because of his humbling, because of his salvation and forgiveness for us all, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. His earthly name is Jesus. Kind of like Jesus, in Spanish, a name often used. But the name that is above every name is spelled in Hebrew letters right to left, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh. King James said Jehovah. It's the Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament. That's the name that's above every name. And when you put that with Jesus Christ is Lord, he has the name of the God of free and faithful grace, the Savior God. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, dear friends, this is very personal with the tongue and the knees. And you know there are people out there that will tell you over and over again, I don't believe, I don't believe. And all the other things they believe in, yard signs, they're out there. Every time they say, I don't believe, God's answer comes back. You will. You will. You will. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee will bow before him. And aren't you glad, my dear Christian friends, that God got through to you while there was still time so that you could kneel and praise his name with holy joy? It's so good to know Jesus now, because tongues that are trained to confess Christ in time will confess Christ in eternity with unbounded joy. There is no fortune that comes close to the value of the love and peace that the Lord God gives us through word and sacrament. There is no estate so sprawling on earth that it comes anywhere close to the awesome wonder of you having your own room in heaven, if you picture it that way in one translation, the dwelling places. Or the mansions, as Isaiah describes, where their oxen and cattle roam free. Wide open spaces of heaven are ours. There is no social media that outnumbers the myriads of angels welcoming you and me to their songs. So whether you like to sing on earth or not, you will be able to open your mouth in heaven and sing all the right notes of all the songs, knowing them all at once in lofty harmonies and glorious grace and praise to God. Because the attitude has become gratitude for all eternity. Yes, to imitate Christ for the endless day. Amen.